Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This week, we are celebrating Holy Week. And because of that, I want to focus on the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We spend so much time on Christmas, and justifiably so, because in his kenosis, in his emptying, is our filling. Jesus came in incarnation so that we could experience what it is to take on the divine nature, of course, excluding identity of essence. But if there's no resurrection, there is no hope for Christianity. So again, over the next 4 days, I want to emphasize the significance of resurrection. That Christ suffered fatal torment, that the tomb was empty, that Christ rose from the dead and gave convincing proofs by his appearances, and that as a result of resurrection, the disciples of Christ were utterly transformed. My point here is that resurrection is the ultimate game changer. If I face hardships in this life for merely human reasons, this is what St. Paul said in his first letter to the Corinthian Christians. He said, if I do that for just human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, well, then just let's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. So St. Paul is pointing out that if Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile. We're still dead in sin. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. So if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. I suppose that puts the ultimate exclamation point on resurrection. Resurrection is the capstone in the arch of Christianity. But if liberal scholars, if adherents of Islam, if devotees of pseudo-Christian cults are right, the biblical account of resurrection is fiction, it's fantasy, it's fraudulent. There's no middle ground here. The resurrection is either history or it's hoax. It's either miracle or myth. It's either fact or fantasy. Without resurrection, Christianity simply crumbles. And there's no more important passage in all of Scripture on this matter than 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the passage on resurrection. And this is a passage that all of us should be intimately acquainted with. It's a passage in which St. Paul says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, says St. Paul, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day according to the Scriptures, and then he appeared. First he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom, says St. Paul, are living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For, says St. Paul, I am the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or it was they. This is what we preach, and this is what you believed. And then says Paul, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching, well, it's useless, and so is your faith. Think about that. Our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. Why? Because we testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he didn't raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, listen to this. Your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Let me read that one more time. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins, and then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, this is an incredible statement by St. Paul. We are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So again, Paul is making a four-part argument here. He is saying that Christ suffered fatal torment, that he was buried, and the implication is the tomb is empty. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. If an ossuary or a bone box is found containing the corpse of Christ, or the bones of Christ, the relics of Christ, game over. So Christ suffered fatal torment. The tomb is empty. Christ appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he had indeed risen from the dead. And the transformation of the disciples, along with thousands and thousands of others, is proof positive for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is conceivable that someone will die for something that they firmly believe is true. Inconceivable that thousands would die for what they knew to be a lie. I often said that when the sword is unfurled, you might well say I was just kidding. Well, again, over the next 4 days, I want to talk about the evidence for resurrection, the hope of resurrection, our passion as Christians concerning resurrection, and why Easter coming up this Sunday, why Pascha is so transcendently important to all of us who take the sacred name of Christ upon our lips. Well, I'm excited about these broadcasts. I hope you are as well. This is our hope as believers. And by this hope, we're not only transformed ourselves, but we become transformational agents for time and for eternity. Be right back with more on resurrection.
If you found 2020 challenging, you're not alone. Millions believe 2020 was the hardest year of their lives. Sadly, this led many to surrender to a life of settling when we should be soaring, resigning when we should be renewing. That's why Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan couldn't be more timely. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and the wife a psychologist, Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe provide a plan for personal renewal in these challenging times. Do you want to renew your vision today and change the rest of your life? To receive your copy of Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or you can visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back soon with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
If you found the last year challenging, you're not alone. In fact, millions believe that this last year has been the most brutal year of their lives. Non-stop news of COVID-19's devastation, coupled with our deepening culture wars, has wreaked havoc on our world. Sadly, many have surrendered to a life of settling when we should be soaring, resigning when we should be renewing. That's why Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan couldn't be more timely. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and the wife a psychologist. Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe provide a plan for personal renewal in these challenging times. To receive your copy of Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We are moving from Palm Sunday, which we celebrated this past Sunday, to Easter or Pascha, which we will celebrate, at least in the Western Church, this weekend, this coming Sunday. Again, the calendars of the Eastern and the Western Church are different, but for Western Christians who are moving towards the celebration of Easter this coming Sunday, I want to once again drive home the reality that this is our hope. If Christ has not risen, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. But Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We too will rise. And again, there's a four-part argument. The first part of that argument is Christ suffered fatal torment. The second is the tomb is empty. The third is Christ appeared. And the fourth is the transformation of literally thousands and thousands of people to this very day. But I want to start in this segment on fatal torment. And I do that because the fatal suffering of the historical Jesus is one of the most well-established facts of antiquity. It's attested by men like Flavius Josephus. He was an eyewitness to the many details and descriptions that are found in the New Testament. But it's also attested by such historical luminaries as Cornelius Tacitus. Cornelius Tacitus, widely deemed to be the greatest first century historian, at least in the ancient Roman Empire. In his annals, Tacitus forthrightly chronicles the death of Jesus Christ. Here's what he says. Christus, who suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilatus, or Pontius Pilate. So Tacitus not only provides cooperating testimony to the biblical account of Christ's vital torment at the hands of Pilate during the reign of Tiberius Caesar, but he draws attention to the whole of the Christian movement which had spread from Judea to Rome. So even in a modern age of scientific enlightenment, there is virtual consensus among New Testament scholars, and I'm talking about both conservative and liberal, that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and that his death drove his disciples to despair. Now, the fatal torment of Jesus Christ begins in the Garden of Gethsemane after an emotional Last Supper. And I'm going to read here from something that comes from my book, Resurrection. This is not original with me. All the documentation you can find in my book, Resurrection. But after an emotional Last Supper, Christ experiences a medical, he experiences a medical condition known as hematidrosis. And what that means is tiny capillaries in his sweat glands rupture, and they mix sweat with blood. After Christ was arrested by the temple guard, he was mocked, he was beaten, he was spat upon. And the next morning, battered, bruised, and bleeding, our Lord was stripped. He was subjected to the brutality of Roman flogging. A whip replete with razor-sharp bones and lead balls reduced his body to quivering ribbons of bleeding flesh. As our Lord slumped into the pool of his own blood, soldiers threw a scarlet robe across his shoulders. They thrust a scepter into his hands. They pressed sharp thorns into his scalp. And then after mocking him, the soldiers took the scepter and repeatedly struck our Lord on the head. And then a heavy wooden beam was thrust upon Christ's bleeding body, and he was led away to the place of the skull. There he experienced excruciating torment in the form of the cross. The Roman system of crucifixion, fine-tuned to produce maximum pain. In fact, I should point out that the word excruciating, literally out of the cross, was coined to fully codify its horror. When I was going through my battle with cancer, I often describe some of the pain that I experienced as excruciating, and as soon as I would do that, I'd stop myself. Because the word excruciating is reserved exclusively for what Christ experienced. What I experienced was insignificant by comparison. At any rate, at the place of the skull, Roman soldiers drove thick 7-inch iron spikes through Christ's hands and feet. Waves of pain pulsated through Christ's body as the nails lacerated his nerves. Breathing became an agonizing endeavor as Christ pushed his tortured body upward to grasp just small gulps of air. In the ensuing hours, Christ experienced cycles of joint-wrenching cramps, intermittent asphyxiation, excruciating pain as his lacerated back moved up and down against the rough timber of the cross. And then with his passion complete, Jesus gave up the spirit. Shortly thereafter, a Roman legionnaire drove his spear through the fifth interspace between the ribs, upward through the pericardium into Christ's heart. And immediately there rushed forth blood and water, demonstrating conclusively that Jesus had suffered fatal torment. What I say in my book, A Resurrection, is that the best medical minds of ancient and modern times have demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ's physical trauma was indeed fatal. So the first part of the argument for Christ's resurrection is that he indeed died. He suffered fatal torment. And when you think about the excruciating agony that Christ experienced, we can only imagine, we can never comprehend, that the God who spoke and the universe leapt into existence would condescend to cloak himself in human flesh so that he could overcome a triple barrier, as St. Nicholas Kabasilis put it, a triple barrier of nature, sin, and death, of nature by his incarnation, of sin by his death, and of death by his resurrection. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, has made it possible for you and I to rise from the dead. And so when we look at our own mortality, we look beyond it to a reality of living in resurrected bodies, in bodies that will be like they would have been if sin had never entered this world. Living in resurrected bodies in a resurrected universe. That's the hope of Christianity. And forever exploring the beauty, the grandeur, the glory of an ineffable God, which we will never come to an end of. Well, three more days, I'm going to be talking about the empty tomb. I'm going to be talking about the appearances of Christ and the utter transformation of the disciples. Can't wait for tomorrow's broadcast. Join me then.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.